from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I want to tell you guys a story about a team. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here. Rob is going to the KU game later. He looks thrilled. I want to tell you a story about a team that since 2017, they have been on a path of excellence. This team also, since 2017, has always been one of the final four teams remaining. This team also, since 2017, has won multiple championships. Now, you guys might think that we are talking about the Chiefs. Yeah, no, we are. We're also talking about the Houston Astros. Houston, it wasn't really that long ago, like a decade ago. Honestly, right before the Royals played them in the postseason in 2015, they were not that good of a team. The Astros, from 2011 to 2013, won 56 games, 55 games, and then 51 games. They were bad. And then they won 70 games. They then won 86 games. And you know, had the heartbreaking loss to the Royals with the big error from Carlos Correa. And basically, since that point, they have been the best team in baseball. In 2017, they won 100 games and won the World Series. In 2018, they won 100 games and lost in the ALCS. They've lost a couple of World Series. They've won a couple of World Series. They have been really, really good. Rob, I think that Houston is the favorite heading into the postseason. I think they're the favorite in the same way that we consider the Chiefs to be the favorite heading into last year's postseason. Until you kill Houston, if they make the dance, you do not want to play them, and they are the most difficult team that you are going to go up against. We're talking about a team that has played in a lot of big games and has won a lot of big games. I know there's a lot of hype around the Orioles. We saw the Orioles last year. They were the one seed in the American League. They got swept out pretty easily. The Yankees, for all the money and all the hype around Aaron Judge, when was the last time that the Yankees have been to the World Series? I think if Houston makes the postseason, and you would think that they are going to, they're leading their division, they're going to be either the division winner or one of the wild card teams. I would consider Houston to be the favorite in the American League down the stretch.
I mean, we were talking in the office the other day. It was me, you, Cody, Gold, a couple of guys. And I was telling you, hey, let's get to the postseason first, but it might open up for the Royals. As a Royals fan, I don't really fear the Yankees. I think the pitching staff for the Royals might be better than the Yankees. The Orioles have way underperformed this year. I think the Royals can match up well against the Orioles. The Royals have done nothing but beat the Guardians consistently this season. There's no reason for Royals fans to fear them, but if there's one team in the postseason that, as a Royals fan, I want no part of, and as a Royals fan, I would say, please, someone knock them out, it's the Houston Astros. Like, I know baseball and March Madness are not the same, but I think you'll understand this analogy. When the bracket comes out and you start filling out, you start getting to the Elite Eight, Sweet 16 line, you think to yourself, man, I really hope someone takes care of that spicy 2 seed down there, or, oh, don't, please, someone beat the 3 seed, because I don't want a Sweet 16 matchup with them. That is how I feel about the Astros. You start running the numbers, and you're like, there's one team that the Royals fan, I go, no thanks, hard pass. And it's the Astros. They have the talent, and they have the track record, and all they seem to do as a baseball team is being the ALCS just year after year after year.
It's funny because looking at the text line, I mean, our top two texts are on 913-586-7965. CDOT, don't hype the cheaters. Another texter is, they cheated. It's funny because I think it was maybe the second Royals game I went to this season, because I went to opening day. We were there. I went to early in the season. They played Toronto, I'm pretty sure it was. And George Springer came up to the plate. And he was just getting booed. And I kind of looked around. I was kind of confused. I was wondering what beef I had with George Springer. I was like, he ain't never done nothing to me. I don't know why we're booing him. And then the guy looked back and was like, the cheating. I was like, oh, that's what it was. People are still mad about this. Why do you think that baseball fans have held on to the cheating scandal the way that they have in this regard? When I would say that cheating to try to win is the most baseball thing that you can possibly do. Most of your favorite players, cheaters. Think about it. Most of your favorite players over the course of the last 25 years have either cheated or been linked to cheating. In the NFL, we call Tom Brady the cheater. He was on the team where the coach had the other team's practices filmed. You can't cheat much more seriously than that in football. I don't really care about the deflating of the footballs. I don't really think that was that big of a deal. I don't really think that gives you a competitive advantage over the course of the game. If you can watch the other team's practices, seems like a pretty big deal. We don't penalize the Patriots the way that we penalize Houston for cheating. I'm not saying Houston didn't cheat. It is very obvious that they cheat. But it is weird that we take this moral stance with Houston and their cheating, especially A, given the history of cheating in baseball and all it has been linked to, and also how we treat this in any other team. Like, if your team wasn't cheating in college football or college basketball, you didn't have a realistic chance of winning. If your team wasn't dropping off bags of money to try to get the top recruit, your team just wasn't winning a championship then in that context. So the cheating for Houston really isn't a big deal to me. I don't really think it's that big of a deal, but oh, it certainly matters to baseball fans. They're mad about it.
How much of the cheating really mattering to baseball fans is because it seems like Rob Manfred did nothing. Because, and that's not Houston's fault. It wasn't like Houston said, hey, give us a slap on the wrist. But it feels like, as a baseball fan, Rob Manfred doled out a relatively light punishment, and then, during a press conference, was like, am I really going to pull away the trophy? It's just a hunk of metal. Like, it was the worst way to handle it. And I think because the powers that be, which is Rob Manfred and co, didn't come down on the Astros, fans feel like, okay, that we have to take charge here and dislike them more. Because all the favorite players comment is right. But baseball writers are being gatekeepers now to the Hall of Fame. Congress got involved and put these people under oath in front of a judiciary committee back in the day. Like, when baseball didn't stop the steroids, third parties were stopping the steroids in some form or fashion. It felt like Rob Manfred knew the Astros cheated, had the evidence the Astros cheated, and said, come on, guys, stop it. Slap on the wrist, and then insulted the sport, and it makes baseball fans jaded toward the Astros.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not a baseball purist enough to really care about this. The text line is still mad about the cheating for the Houston Astros. At some point, the cheating ended, right? We don't think they're cheating now.
We
right?
assume. I mean,
no. I mean, you never know. But I'm saying is the scandal that Houston was over, it ended at one point, right? They won 90 games last year and lost in Game 7 of the ALCS. In 2022, they won the World Series. When do we think that Houston started playing legitimately and fairly? Because they are winning their division right now, fair and square. When did it start? When did it end? Because it seems to me they are still winning. When the Patriots stopped filming your practices, they kept winning. When the Patriots stopped doing funny stuff with the footballs, they kept winning. KU, they were paying players. Now everybody can pay players. They're still winning. Maybe it's just other things that went into it on why they continue to be better than you in baseball, more so than they just had the signals and the stuff. And maybe so.
Like, we are guessing that Michigan last year was not stealing signs. That's what we're going to guess, right?
Oh, no. I feel like they were definitely stealing signs last
season.
Up until Connor Stallions got popped, yeah, I was pretty confident.
I was like, week one. Then I won the national championship afterwards and didn't lose to anybody the whole year. At some point, the cheating stopped, and they still kept beating you. What's the excuse then? They're better than you are. That's okay.
But Carrington, I know this almost better than others because I am a KU fan. Do you know what happens when the cheating stops and you still keep winning? Fans will continue to be angry about the cheating, and they'll get angrier and angrier and angrier. You know what happened when KU won the national title in basketball in 2022? Opposing fan bases, or at least on social media, were like, why didn't the FBI stop them? They cheated. They should be there should be some sort of recompense. This is unfair. You know how fans are, especially fans on social media. When you're losing, you're mad. Then you find out the opponent is cheating, and then you keep losing. You keep being mad, and you get angrier and angrier. That's what's happening with the Astros.
I mean, I would just say that more teams should have been doing what Houston was doing. For all the conversations we had in the 2000s about how wrong it was to pay players, nothing really happened to the teams that were. Right? Like, we think that USC gave Reggie Bush's family a house. They didn't really seem to do much to USC. They just kind of kept playing football.
Well, I mean, they did take his Heisman for a long time.
Yeah,
they punished him.
They penalized the one person. They didn't penalize everybody else. The FBI had evidence that a Kansas assistant coach was present when an Adidas representative gave Billy Preston a bag full of money. It seems like everything worked out at KU. I would say that our teams were too scared to do what they needed to do to win, is what I would say. I don't know why Missouri wasn't doing this. K-State, I don't know why you weren't doing this. There's no penalty to it. Keep cheating. You guys were doing petty cheating, like trying to help a couple of players on a test like Missouri was. No, you should have been big cheating. You should have been dropping money off. That's what you should have been doing. You should have been cheating better. That's what we saw Houston doing. They were cheating efficiently, and it was working. They were winning championships. All right, coming up on the other side, They did a series on Arrowhead Pride. I really like this series. They asked the 10 biggest and most important questions this season for the Kansas City Chiefs. We will go over them. I will answer them. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The text line is very upset at my stance toward the Houston Astros. 913-586-7965. I don't even know if I should clarify the statements or not. Maybe I should just expound a little bit more. I know that I'm the only person that when they had a book report in school, I didn't always read the book. I know all of you every single time read the book from cover to cover with the detailed summation of what you read. I was not that student. Nope, not at all. There's a reason that Spark Notes exists. It's for people like me. I know that we have to take this morality stance in sports, how cheating is wrong and how it's anti and how it's the devil. You cannot like college football and also be anti-cheating. You cannot. It is impossible for you to like college sports and be anti-cheating. Your favorite team is currently cheating. I'll give you an example. Rob, did you know that it is against the rules for you to use NIL as a recruitment tool in the recruitment of players? We all know that's happening. It is illegal for you to contact a college player while currently under scholarship with another team to get him to enter the portal so you can recruit him. We all know that's happening, right?
Caden Green, excuse me, had a little cough.
100% they cheated. 100%. We all know that, right? I'm not taking KU basketball fans telling me they're anti-cheating. Stop it. Come on now. Come on. We're all grown here. We're all adults here. Your favorite team cheats. That's okay. Is it cheating if everyone does it? Is it cheating if the speed limit is 40 and everyone's driving 52 and they're just going with the flow of traffic? Is it illegal then? Are you speeding? I'm just not going to get, especially in a sport like baseball. Baseball has always been in the center of a cheating scandal. There's a whole era now that we have labeled full of cheaters. The entire post-strike era until 2010 is the cheating era in baseball. Almost all of your favorite players, cheaters. I don't have it in me to be up in arms about Houston using signals to, I don't care that much. Especially when they've been just smoking the rest of these teams for a decade. And right now appear to be very, very good. I'm not anti-Houston. I think it's silly to be. Again, you cannot like college sports and be anti-cheating. If you are, stop. Just stop cheering for it today. And cheer for something pure like the NFL. It's very pure. I mean, we know that.
I mean, no cheating there.
Never. Never.
Like how Tyler Bray was really actually totally injured every year.
Never.
Never any gamesmanship there.
I just always assume that any billion-dollar industry, most of the time corrupt. On my moral high ground soapbox stands for the day. I think all of them are cheating all the time. Some teams are just way better at hiding it and concealing it more than the other teams. Some of the teams are just like openly cheating. You remember when Penny Hardaway first got to Memphis, like, oh, they cheating. It'd be obvious. You got to hide it a little bit more than how some of these teams are doing. All right, let's get back to talking football. Let's get back to talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. They are doing actually a pretty cool series right now on Arrowhead Pride where they're asking the 10 most important questions for the Kansas City Chiefs heading into the season. I know that we might have broken up with Pete Sweeney, and it makes me sad, but I still go to Arrowhead Pride. I still read it. All right, Rob, let's go through the 10 biggest questions that they asked on Arrowhead Pride.
Speaking of cheating, this is what the Traders website was asking earlier today. The top question going into the Chiefs season, Carrington, can the Chiefs get Travis Kelce to the finish line?
I actually think that last year was very informative for the Kansas City Chiefs and how it played itself out. I know that you and I were the only two people that said that we thought that Travis Kelce was declining. And even though the numbers strongly suggest that to be the case, he turned things on in the postseason. I think like anything, once you have experience doing it the first time, the second time, it's not nearly as hard to do it. I think the Chiefs learned a lot of valuable information on how to do it. I also don't think that their offense is going to be as reliant on Travis Kelce this season that they were last year. That I think there's going to be a much more of a balance this year in the passing attack where they're not going to need him as much early on in the season. You just got more guys to throw the football to. Their wide receiver room is infinitely better. You look at, I mean, MVS is, I'm not even sure if he's an NFL player at this point, and Kadarius Toney. So two guys that they were counting on last year are fringe NFL players now at this point. You got Xavier Worthy. I know Hollywood Brown is injured, but you expect him to come back. Rashee Rice, this is the jump from year one to year two. He had a great final 10 weeks last year. Mecole Hardman is on this team at the beginning of the season. Juju Smith-Schuster is on this team. Justin Watson is on this team. They are much more well-rounded and complete than they were last year. I don't think you need Travis Kelce to be Superman this season the way that you have in years past. So I think the valuable experience they got last year and how to manage his body and manage his touches, I think they're going to have a much better plan to keep him fresh over. I mean, for the Chiefs, we say it's a 17-game schedule. It's really, for the Chiefs, a 21-game schedule. There is no player in the NFL, outside of Patrick Mahomes, I guess, that has played more football over the course of the last 5 years than Travis Kelce. Not a single player. More than he has.
The second of the 10 biggest questions heading into the Chiefs season this year on their path to a three-peat, are the Chiefs deep enough in the running back room?
I think so. I'm actually curious where you are with this. Are you in the same place?
I am now with Perine in the fold. Without Perine, I had my doubts. But now with Perine, even if he's just Jerick McKinnon, and I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, even if he's just Jerick McKinnon,
I cannot believe.
I feel more confident about their running back room knowing there's a person with actual NFL experience backing up Isaiah Pacheco, a player who tends to get hurt.
I just cannot believe you, Mr. I hate running backs, that Samaje Perine, with his 238 yards rushing last year, has now given you so much peace and tranquility in the running back room. And I'm not anti-Perine, but you want to talk about dime a dozen. That's who Samaje Perine is.
Let me ask you this. How many yards did Carson Steele have last year? Because I feel more confident about Perine in the league because I've seen it. You're also ignoring his near 500 yards receiving. When Carson Steele is an undrafted rookie who looked good against plumbers and scrubs.
Oh, my goodness.
What did J.J. Redick call it? Plumbers and insurance salesmen. That's who Carson Steele cooked at Ball State and in the preseason.
Well, he also did it at UCLA. You always like to skip over the fact that Carson Steele last year played at UCLA. I also would like to point, based on your own logic, do you have more confidence in the 21-year-old running back or the 29-year-old running back? Go ahead and lie. I know you're about to lie. We just talked about cheating. Let's find out you lied, too. Let's find out you lied too.
I would have more faith in the younger.
Thank you. So they got Pacheco, who's 25. They got a 21-year-old young thoroughbred in the mix. And then they got the old guy that they're going to throw it to every once in a while out of the backfield. Let's not make it seem like the Chiefs have some great running back room. Their running back room is, yes, it's a little bit better than it was yesterday. Their running back room is, it's good for what they need it to be. They have the best quarterback in the league. They have one of the five greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. You know what I don't really want them doing? Running a whole lot. They're going to do what they always do. They're going to run the ball between 12 and 16 times a game. That's what they're going to do. Pacheco's going to get his, and then everybody else is going to fight for scraps, and then they'll run a little screen passes to Samaje Perine, and we will call Andy Reid a genius. I've seen this storybook before. Their running back room is fine. I'm not through the moon for their running back room. I also don't think there's any reason to be down on it. They have a legitimate number one running back with Isaiah Pacheco, and knock on wood, hopefully he doesn't get injured. But if an injury happens, I think they have enough in the reserve to make it for a couple of weeks if he goes down with Carson Steele.
Arrowhead Pride had not one but two running back questions in their 10 questions. They also asked, will the Chiefs running game return to its 2022 form?
What's the 2022 form? I just want to know what we're classifying that as.
I'm just reading. It just says the 2022 form.
Yeah.
I don't remember the 2022 rushing offense.
Is there something special about their run game in 2022 that I... that I don't remember. I mean, they didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher in 2022. Isaiah Pacheco ran for 830 yards, and their number two running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, ran for 302 yards. That's the form they need to bounce back to? Yes, they can bounce back to 2022 Kansas City Chiefs rushing attack. Now, if you're saying Jerick McKinnon out of the backfield, McKinnon did have 500 yards receiving and 9 touchdown catches. Now, I don't think that's what P. Ryan's going to have out of the backfield. I don't think he's going to be one of the best pass-catching backs out of the league. But, yes, they can. They were the 2022 backfield last year for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't know about that question. But moving on, staying on the offense, Carrington, what is the Chiefs' day one plan at left tackle?
Well, we know the answer now at left tackle. We might not have known this whenever the question was originally answered, but we do know the answer now. Kingsley Suamataia, he has had that job from start to finish. It has a Trey Smith feel to it. Now, I know it's different because Trey Smith was a 6th-round pick, and we're talking about a guy who was a 2nd-round pick, so the similarities are different. But you remember, Trey Smith won that job pretty early on in the offseason and never relinquished the role. This has never been a left tackle battle or competition. I know it sounded good and we had to give ourselves things to talk about in May to talk about football-wise, but they have never had a left tackle battle. They have known he has been their starting left tackle since they drafted him. We just didn't know it yet. But then when we got to see them practice more and more, it then became obvious who their starting left tackle is. Now, we'll see if they made the right decision with the rookie. We obviously don't have the answer to that yet, but there was no battle. There was no back and forth. There was no competition. He barely got pushed in the offseason for who the starting left tackle is. They're going with the rookie.
Couple more offensive questions before we pivot to the defense. Carrington, what does an expanded role for Rashee Rice look like in this Chiefs offense?
That's a great question. I struggle with trying to figure out what Rashee Rice's ceiling is for this team. Like, if I had to ask you right now, if we did a hypothetical button game and I tell you, Rob, that he becomes Chris Godwin, are you happy with that? Are you happy right now if he becomes Chris Godwin?
Yes.
I don't think that's that far off from what he is. I mean, Chris Godwin, his 3rd year, had one massive season. Tom Brady was there. He had almost 90 catches for 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. Outside of that, I mean, the last 3 years for Chris Godwin, he had 98 catches for 1,100 yards, 104 catches for over 1,000 yards. And last year, he had 83 catches for 1,000 yards and 2 touchdowns last year. Now, the touchdown numbers fluctuate a little bit. Maybe you think Rice has more or less. I'm not as concerned with arguing about that. But all of us think that Chris Godwin is a good wide receiver in the league. He certainly is deserving of a number 2 contract. None of us think that Chris Godwin is an elite wide receiver in the league. Isn't that kind of what we feel about Rashee Rice right now?
This is maybe an unpopular opinion too, and this is part of this question. Man, how does his numbers look when they're not force-feeding him the ball?
That's a good question.
Like, part of his statistical prowess last year was the fact that it was, if we're not throwing to Kelsey, we're throwing to one other human being, and it's Rashee Rice. And we both know it was a lot of quick slants, RPOs, screens, you know, quick action stuff to get him the ball in his hands. I don't know they're not going to force feed him the ball that way this year. So I don't know what his role looks like, because in theory it expands, but does that expansion actually dip his numbers?
Yeah, I think it's at least fair to point out with Rashee Rice and why I think this is a little bit different conversation is, I know we look at it as force feeding him targets and opportunities last year. I mean, in the course of a team's number one wide receiver the way he was last year, it's not like he had really that many targets. I mean, last year, Travis Kelce was 25th in targets. Where would you guess that Rice was last year in the league in terms of targets? Because I hear what you're saying, and it certainly felt like they were force-feeding Rashee Rice. Where do you think he was in targets in the league?
Well, you're asking because he's going to be low, so I'll say 40th?
He was 39th last year in the league. I mean, last year, I mean, he had 2 less targets than what Jalen Waddle got last year. He had around the same targets as Jake Ferguson. He had the same amount of targets last year as Hollywood Brown. They both got thrown the ball 101 times last year. I think in a big picture sense, he didn't really get force-fed the ball more than you would think. Jordan Addison, a receiver that you and I both like, Rob. Jordan Addison got 108 targets last year. I don't really think it was forcing him as much as it was just a simple correction from the fact of they never threw it to him early in the season when finally, at the end of the year, they did this magical thing and they started getting their best wide receiver the football more. Funny how that really opened up their offense.
The final offensive question before I pivot to the defense, Carrington, how much can the Chiefs get out of Hollywood Brown in 2024?
I mean, first off, is he going to be healthy? We can't answer this question right now. This has to just be an NA at this point.
Isn't that part of the question, though?
No, because that's a very fair point about that. I guess for me, sometimes I think we do this with Patrick Mahomes, and I get it because of how great he is we think that because you play with him, you just magically turn into a receiver that you've never been before. We did that same thing with MVS. I mean, Hollywood Brown has played 5 seasons in the league. I think we know what Hollywood Brown is at this point. He's not going to be a guy that gets you 1,300 yards and takes that next step. He has one 1,000-yard season in the league, and outside of that, he has had a couple of good years. The NFL, they get things wrong. I don't make it sound like they hit 100% on players, but he was available to every team in the league, and he signed a 1-year deal in Kansas City. Now, the Chiefs can get the most out of him. They did that with Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju had less than 1,000 yards. Juju, when he then hit free agency, he got $24 million in free agency. Not like he's broke the bank for some super deal his second year. So I'm not saying this is I'm down on Hollywood Brown. You remember, I like the Hollywood Brown. I think it's one of the better deals that's out there. But we talk about get the most out of him. What is the most that you think Hollywood Brown is getting you this year? He gets you 800 yards? He gets you 900 yards? That's kind of the receiver he's been his entire career.
Pivoting to the defensive side of the ball, Carrington, couple more questions. Surprisingly, less question about the defense and the offense, which you'd think the opposite of Patrick Mahomes. Carrington, what will Felix Anyudike Uzomah show us in year two?
Can we move on to the next question? I only want to move on to the next question is because I don't want to say anything bad about this, and then you and I are going to be on Go Power Cat and bring on the cats.com, and I don't want to do that about Felix.
Listen, this show is a staple on Go Power Cat for all the wrong reasons.
They love us. They really do love us.
They're definitely listening. They listen intently, I'll tell you that.
I don't want to jump to any conclusion. Let me choose my words. I think I can wiggle out of this. I don't want to jump to any conclusions about Felix. I feel if he was poised for a big year, we would know a little bit more than we know right now. It doesn't feel like he is poised to have a big year. Now, is he going to be more of a contributor than last year? Sure. It would kind of hard to be less of a contributor than what he was last year. He had a half sack. Rob, let's say I set the over on Felix sacks at 3.5. You taking the over or the under?
I think you have to take the over.
You would take the over at 3.5.
You figure he's a starter in the NFL. That 3.5 is kind of the feel you get.
Are we sure he's a starter?
He's part of the rotation. He's going to
get. Okay, that's fair. But you agree, part of the rotation and being a starter are two different things.
I agree.
George Karlaftis is a starter in the league.
That's fair.
Charles Aminihu is a starter in the league. Do we know if Felix Anyudike Uzomah is a starting defensive end in the league? I don't think we have that answer right now.
I don't know he's starting, but I think he's going to get enough snaps to you feel like he falls into four, right? I would have said that last year too, though, but. I don't know what to make of Felix. They clearly redshirted him, so let's see if he grew in the redshirt year.
Right now, would you take snaps away from Mike Dana to give to Felix?
No.
Then what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Mike Dana is a rotational piece, and that's fine. Mike Dana is a very valuable part of a team. You need guys like Mike Dana. If you haven't passed that guy yet on the roster, then you have answered my question on Felix Anyudike at this point.
Speaking of first-round picks, I mentioned George Karlaftis. How will the Chiefs utilize Trent McDuffie? Will he be inside or outside corner?
I don't think it matters, honestly.
This seems like very nerdcore football.
Yeah, I don't think it matters as much. I'm less concerned about that, and I guess more concerned with Trent McDuffie that last year there was a measure of freedom that you could give him because you had so much confidence in the on the other side with L'Jarius Sneed. How does your defense work with Trent McDuffie? How do you use Trent McDuffie if now you need Trent McDuffie to play more of a cover corner role because you are less confident in the other guys that are around him? I'm much more concerned with that than sort of where he's lined up on the field. You could just do different things because you had two legitimate number one corners on your team last year with Sneed and McDuffie. you don't have a legitimate second number one corner. I'm not even sure if you have a legitimate number two corner that's currently on your team. That's the question to me with the secondary.
Their final question, I shouldn't have said this one for last, but who cares? Their final question, do the Chiefs have enough depth at defensive tackle?
I think so. Yeah, that's not a question that I'm super worried about with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, a lot of these things are just predicated on the concept of, well, if an injury happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you lose one of the 10 best defensive players in the National Football League, your team is in trouble. Like, depth is obviously important. You need a rotation. He's not going to play in all of the snaps. They need a healthy and productive Chris Jones to accomplish all of their goals. And if they don't have that, then they defensively are in trouble. Like, the reason that you feel confident about their secondary, even though they have a lack of household names, is you trust their ability to get pressure. They don't get pressure without Chris Jones. Not consistently, not the way that they did last season. His presence just makes things easier for everybody. It makes things easier for Mike Dana. It made things easier for Charles Omenihu, George Karloftis on the outside. And then you factor in when you also can have Spags who can design and draw up different things, it just changes the complexity of your defense. So I certainly understand the question from Arrowhead Pride. It just, you need your star players to be stars. And if Chris Jones is not a star player this year, it obviously changes the complexity of your defense.
I will say this real quick on the defensive tackle, though. I agree with your point. If your stars aren't stars, you're screwed. But I mean, do they have a lot of capable bodies next to Jones? Like, Mike Pinnell's a fan favorite, and I get it. But Mike Pinnell was a free agent in week 7 last year. And Turk Wharton, after coming on the scene hot in 2020, has been the epitome of a Jag. Just a guy ever since then. And maybe I'm forgetting someone at defensive tackle, but the guy next to Chris Jones does play and matter. And right now, who's the guy?
Yeah, I hear you. I would just, they are far better at that than they are at running back. Like, if we are asking, who's the number two in this situation, I'm not maybe as concerned about this. There is a question that I have about Hollywood Brown. I want to ask that coming up on the other side. And we're going to play a little bit of our conversation with Robert Ford. He is the play-by-play voice for the Houston Astros. He joined us earlier today. Want to get you guys a little bit of baseball heading into the 5 o'clock hour. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Look at your cup holder. It's empty.
Rob, who do I cheer for?
Mizzou.
Musically.
I thought we all agreed that he lost, okay, so we can just move on.
Come on.
Sometimes
you know this was wild.
Sometimes Mizzou loses.
Come on now. Don't do that. You know I don't listen to this song.
It's the most popular song in America.
Not in my home. I'll never forget. When I first heard that song and he said A minor, I turned my phone off. I don't want to hear this nonsense anymore. Get this away from me. Don't play that song anymore around me, Doc. Don't ever play that song around me again. I don't want to hear it. Never. It's not the kind of energy we're bringing to the fan. Kendrick was talking about a fan, different kind of fan. Don't play that around me. Never again. All right, you know what? Let's wait to play Robert Ford. That's my fault. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to ask you one question about Hollywood Brown because I see this a lot. Our top text right now is, CDOT, it is unfair to hold the pass standard against Hollywood Brown now that he is in an offense with a passing quarterback. Okay, that's fair. Rob, let me give you the numbers here in a bit. What kind of season do you think Hollywood Brown is going to have right now? I'm not going to give you the numbers yet of what he did at Arizona and what he did at Baltimore. Based on the information that we currently have about Hollywood Brown, how many yards, how many catches do you think he's going to have this season?
A catch is always tough. It's just tough to know.
Yeah, when you look at that. It's fair.
Yards with his injury, I would say he's...
Which he was hurting in Baltimore and hurting Arizona, so that part is unchanged.
100%. I think he's going to miss at least the first 3 weeks of the season, maybe four. So you got to figure he's playing at most 13 games. I would probably have him at 650 to 800, somewhere in that window. If you pin me down, I'd say 700 yards for Hollywood Brown. Okay. And I think I'm being optimistic with that number.
All right, text line 913-586-7965. Let's all do this exercise together. We can all do it together. How many catches and yards do you think the Hollywood Brown is going to get this year? Both. Catches, yards. If you want to sprinkle in touchdowns, you are more than fine. Because my question is, because we did the same thing with MVS. You come play for the Chiefs, and now you are going to morph into this player that you've never been before. That's not really how the league works, especially if you are an older player. And at this point, with Hollywood Brown, if you're entering year six, you're an older player at this point. Rob, can you think of the example of a receiver that has just been fine for the first 5 years of his career and then at the end just morphed into this completely different guy? Because the text line is saying, well, see, now you're not factoring in that Andy makes most players better. Okay. I actually don't know if the Chiefs have added an offensive player and they were better in Kansas City than they were at any other point before their career. That was not the best version of Juju that we saw a couple of years ago. I'm not saying that Juju was not good, but Juju's first 2 years at Pittsburgh, he was better than he was in Kansas City. Now, they got him back to form than where he was the last couple of seasons, but I don't know if Andy is the come here and have your career year guy. It is come here, be a good player, be a part of our system, and win games. So we can go through some of these numbers on the text line. What was your numbers again for Hollywood Brown? Where do you think he is?
I'm going to say 700 yards. Catch is just tough because of his, okay. 700 yards is my number.
All right.
If you want me to sprinkle in touchdowns, 3.
So I'll do Baltimore, right? Baltimore, not a heavy passing offense, limitations with the quarterback. Did you say that you thought?
First off, I want to say, me and you are the only people that disagree on limitations at quarterback.
I agree.
Lamar Jackson's
a
multiple-time MVP.
Most people would say,
it's a common sentiment.
If you join Kansas City after Baltimore, your numbers are going to skyrocket.
Correct.
Because of the offense that you were playing in.
That is the sentiment.
What did you have for Hollywood?
I had him at 700 yards.
If you take the 3-year average of Hollywood Brown with Lamar Jackson, 65 catches for 787 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's what you think he is with Patrick Mahomes. Arizona had bad quarterbacks for the most time. Didn't have Kyler Murray for most of it. Banged up for the most part. The average of the 2 years that he was there, he had 60 catches for 641 yards and 4 touchdowns. I'm not telling you that I think Hollywood is a bad player. If you are going into this thinking that Hollywood is going to turn into a 1,200-yard player, you are fooling yourself. If you are going into this thinking that the Chiefs are getting something different than the back of the football card for Hollywood Brown, you are fooling yourself. And that's not bad. On a guy on a 1-year deal, if you get on a 1-year contract for less than $10 million, a guy that's going to come in and have 65 catches for 787 yards and 7 touchdown passes, that is one of the best free agency contracts that any team will have signed this past offseason. I'm fine with him just being that. I just want to go into the season with realistic expectations about what we expect Hollywood Brown to be. And if you think that he's going to be an 1,100-yard guy, you are off on what he is going to do this season. That's what Kelsey is going to be this season. That's what Rashee Rice can be this season. I don't think that's what Hollywood Brown is in this offense, and that's fine with me.
It must just be because Patrick Mahomes is great. And that's probably the answer to my question. But why is there this sentiment that if you show up here, it's just watch out, bonanza stats coming? Because nope. And by the way, they've had players come here and be successful. They've had players come here and play a role. And I think some of players coming here and being successful has made their guys, you know, their pillars, if you will, better. But there is not a free agent move that has come here and just blown up. MVS had this talk. It never happened. Kadarius Toney had this talk. It never happened. Jeremy Maclin never had this talk. He was good, but not to the level he was in Philadelphia. I mean, we can go through the names. It keeps happening. Hey, this guy comes to Kansas City. Watch out. Here comes a megastat season. The megastat season hasn't happened for free agents. Sammy Watkins, remember when he signed, you were outspoken. He's just okay. Everyone's like, well, he's never played with Mahomes before, and he was just okay in Kansas City.
And Sammy Watkins continued to be the same player that he was. This is where I think, like, if you want, like, my hot take, my contrarian take, I think we overrate sometimes who the quarterback is throwing you the football. where you know me, I'm big on targets. If Patrick Mahomes throws you the ball 60 times, but you get the ball thrown to you 120 times from Sam Howell, you're just going to put up more numbers in that scenario. That doesn't mean necessarily you're a better receiver. You just get way more opportunities. So it's a lot about how often you get the football and how often they scheme for you to be involved in the offense. So my only point with Hollywood and why we're having this conversation is I think a good, reasonable number for Hollywood Brown this season is 850 yards. If that's what they get from him, if he has 61 catches for 850 yards and 6 touchdowns, I will be through the moon if that's what they get. That's great. I think Rashee Rice is going to have 1,000 yards this season. Travis Kelce is going to get pretty close to 1,000 yards this season. Isaiah Pacheco is going to give you what he normally gives you, between 8 to 950 yards. P. Ryan's going to help a little bit. Carson Steele's going to help a little bit. We know that Mahomes is going to – you're going to have this random day where Justin Watson has 72 yards receiving for the day. I'm not worried about their ability to score or get yards. The conversation is more specifically, I guess, towards Hollywood Brown. And we always do this with receivers. Sammy Watkins never took a giant step with Patrick Mahomes. MVS didn't take a big step. Juju didn't take a big step. I just don't expect Hollywood Brown to take that big step. Coming up at the top of the hour, we got a lot to get into. Some college football, some NFL, some Royals. It's a busy time in sports here in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.